You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
He's the greatest. He's fantastic. Wherever there is danger, he'll be there. Danger Mouse. Amazing. Danger Mouse. Astounding. Danger Mouse.
Hello and welcome to the 72nd Up. Episode? What's an episode?
Apparently, we've done one too many episodes.
Of Castoon, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave June Mike, and once again, I'm joined by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello, sir.
I'm the greatest. I'm fantastic. Sorry.
Yes, and for those who didn't catch that reference... Today we are going to be talking about the better of the mice in the last 2 weeks, Danger Mouse.
I think I'm going to shoot myself because we've agreed with each other 2 weeks in a row. But I'm still fantastic and I'm still the greatest. And wherever there's danger, I will be there.
Yes. So getting right into the history lesson, sir.
Danger Mouse is a British animated television series, which was produced by Cosgrove Hall Films for Thames Television. It features the eponymous Danger Mouse, a English, not British, mouse, who works as a superhero/secret agent. The show is a loose parody of British spy fiction, particularly James Bond, the Danger Man series, with some influences coming from Sherlock Holmes, and there's lots of other nods to British stuff, which we'll probably get into as we go through here, with the Watson-like assistant Penfold. The show originally ran in the United Kingdom from 1981 to 1992. Danger Mouse was the first British cartoon to break into the American TV market since the animated shorts Simon in the Land of Chalk Drawings, Ludwig, and Paddington Bear, which were all shown in the 70s. In the United States, it was broadcast on Nickelodeon in the 1980s in the late afternoons and in the early evenings as a segue into primetime hours, as the A&E Network and later Nick at Night, as the series appealed to both preteens and adults with its quick-witted English humor. Danger Mouse aired for a whopping 10 seasons, consisting of 89 episodes, which were broadcast in the UK or in the US, basically from 1981 to 1992. What do you remember about good old Danger Mouse?
It's James Bond as a mouse.
Basically. I actually do remember watching it in prime time, though.
I do, too.
I remember watching it on Nickelodeon at prime time, and it was like... Right in that segment, right before Nick at Night, I remember that clear as day. I don't necessarily remember if I watched it in the afternoons when it was on, but I do remember watching it prime time for sure.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. It was awesome.
Yeah. This is something that we'll get into, but basically, Danger Mouse, to me, maybe more than most cartoons, stands the test of time because it is aimed... It was supposed to be a kid's cartoon, but they did everything in their power to aim it almost totally at adults.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I mean, I can imagine that if you were someone who grew up with British television series exposure or British lit background, that you would like that your appreciation for the show is even more than mine is. Because besides James Bond and Sherlock Holmes, there's some references, like some of the Monty Python references I might not get. Some of the Doctor Who references I might not get, but someone who is big on all the British TV stuff has to really appreciate this show.
I have never gotten into Doctor Who. I know nothing about the show. It's not that I don't care for it. It's not that I dislike it. I just don't. It's one of those shows that unless you're going to attempt to get into it from the beginning... You're hopelessly lost, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that you're either going to be way into or you better just stay away from it.
Yeah, the only, at this time in the 80s, the only British TV or the only British comedy show that I ever watched, two of them actually, was Fawlty Towers with John Cleese and Rising Damp.
I don't remember either of those.
Fawlty Towers was just comedy gold.
Yeah.
Basically, take John Cleese out of the Q or R role, and put him in a in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Fawlty Towers. It's just awesome.
I think this may be, I mean, I'd have to do a search or do some research on all the British cartoons that have ever come out, but this may be the best British cartoon I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd have to agree.
I mean, this is just, I remember watching that as a kid, like I said, prime time, right before Nick at Night, and I watched quite a few segments here and there recently, and it's still just as good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get over it. I love everything about this show almost. I love the theme song. It's one of the best theme songs of the 80s, at least top, 30, 40 in there somewhere. I love the voice acting in this show. I love the characters. I love just about everything about this show. I didn't realize how much I liked it until I started rewatching it, actually. I knew I liked the characters because I could remember, that a character or a show stuck with you as a child if you can remember more than the main character. And I remembered like 5 or 6 characters from this before I even started rewatching it. Like, I could have told you who the bad guy was. I could have told you who Danger Mouse was, who his sidekick was. I could have told you about the little white pet thing with, that the evil guy has. I could have told you about, the Colonel K. I remembered all that without ever watching a minute just from my childhood.
Yeah.
And that's when you know a show was good back then.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to last week's show, which none of us could remember anything besides Mighty Mouse until we started rewatching them. Now, it's different. If you start rewatching them, obviously that doesn't count because you've had your memory jogged then. But to remember the characters before you start rewatching it means it was a good show.
Oh, yeah. And shows like this, and I don't really want to equate it to other shows, but I mean shows that we grew up with, like Transformers and G.I. Joe and Thundercats and Voltron and Mask and He-Man and She-Ra and Tiny Toons and all that other good stuff. Keyword there is good stuff. Those damn metal things don't count.
Silverhawks are awesome.
Shut up. They all have characters that we remember that we grew up with. I mean, I don't think anyone, unless you go through a memory eraser, I don't think anyone is going to be able to forget Optimus Prime or He-Man or, Lion-O.
But I think what I'm saying, and I think you're kind of getting at the same point, is though, if it is a great show or if it had an impact on you as a child, you're going to remember more than just those characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to remember the sidekicks. You're going to remember the
Henchmen. I totally agree.
And this show, to me, this show is kind of like, I mean, obviously we can't compare them to all the action boys shows or the action shows of the 80s, but to me, this one, you could put this one kind of with, I'd say like Garfield, that type of show. You could put it with, I'm trying to think of some other ones that were kind of like that, where it's just kind of comedy for both kids and adults, just kind of general themes, almost like Inspector Gadget. You could kind of put it with that. It was just a good all-around show. And, obviously Inspector Gadget and Garfield are more known, but I think Danger Mouse could hold its own against some of those shows.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So, any other memories before we actually talk about some of these characters that we're remembering so fondly?
Nope.
All right, starting off, obviously, with Danger Mouse. He's the greatest secret agent in the world. He's fantastic. He's the greatest. Wherever there's trouble, he's there. So secret, in fact, that his codename has a codename. He speaks 34 languages fluently, including some extraterrestrial ones. He regularly bounces himself on his index finger and bounces up and down on it. He refers to this as going into a 7th-level yoga hopping trance. His eye patch is not actually needed, and as he points out, is worn because it's part of the suit. His biggest catchphrases are good grief and Penfold shush and blast. He's also a practitioner of the ancient martial art of Kung Magi.
Sounds like something Hong Kong Fui would come up with.
Yeah, I don't remember the martial arts part or that it was called that, but I remember him just being kind of this over-the-top, like, greatest secret agent in the world. He can do all this crap that you're like, what? But I think the thing about Danger Mouse that I like is he has a unique look for a cartoon mouse.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't Mighty Mouse slash Mickey Mouse slash Superman, whatever. This isn't, and even other mouses that we've seen over the years in cartoons all seem to have like a similar look. But Danger Mouse found a new look, a unique look, and a good look. And I like that about him.
Yeah, I agree. For a second there, when you were reading his old bio, he said, good grief, I'm thinking, wait, since when did Charlie Brown get mutated?
Oh, God.
I couldn't help it, because that's what Charlie Brown always says, is good grief.
Good observation. Of course, Danger Mouse's sidekick is a guy named Ernest Penfold. Hopefully you remember what he looks like.
Yeah, there's a picture right there.
Well, I mean the viewers. kind of like a little eyeglass-wearing hamster.
Yeah.
Stands just over the height of Danger Mouse and always wears thick round glasses and a crumpled blue suit with a white shirt and yellow and black striped tie. He's Danger Mouse's sidekick. He calls Danger Mouse Chief. And basically, he's a coward. I don't think we need to get too much into anything else about him, but he's funny. He's a good little sidekick, not as annoying as some sidekicks in the '80s, but still your timid, scaredy cat sidekick.
I can watch this guy over that other crazy learning sidekick of the metal variety, stupid Copper Kid.
I think I like Copper Kid better.
No.
But why are you hating on Silverhawks? It's been like 70 episodes since that show. Do you want to take some of the other characters?
You got Colonel K, who is basically Danger Mouse's boss. He's often mistaken for a walrus. It was revealed in issue of Look In magazine that he is, in fact, a chinchilla. Previously worked for Special Branch, where he was known as Special... Oh, God, no.
Special K.
Oh, no.
You gotta tell the viewers the next part, though, about the Colonel K.
Oh, God. He is a champion... Oh, boy. I don't know if I can finish this.
Yeah, this is great stuff.
He is a champion penis thrower. Decorated judo expert. The first to climb Mount Everest on a pogo stick. What the hell?
On a pogo
There's
stick.
No way in friggin' hell you can climb
That's what makes
Mount
this show awesome. Come on.
Everest on a fucking pogo stick.
You got Danger Mouse balancing and jumping on his fingers. You got Colonel K climbing Mount Everest on a pogo stick. And he was once an Eskimo. And he took up tap dancing and was a former kleptomaniac and cheats at croquet. This guy is... Who else would you want to have your boss as? This is the greatest boss ever. I want a boss that can do all of those things. Except for maybe being a former kleptomaniac. then you had Professor Heinrich von Squawkencluck.
Oh, boy.
Who was an inventor, mad scientist guy, inventor of Mark III, Danger Mouse's flying car, and the space hopper, his personal spacecraft. He's a mole, despite his avian name, Squawkencluck. Then you got Agent 57, who's awesome. He's initially a master of disguise. Agent 57 later gained the ability to alter his own molecular structure to transform into any appearance he wished. And I can remember an episode where basically every time he... I don't know if this was throughout the whole series or if this was just in this episode, because I can't remember each specific episode that well. But Agent 57 was in this episode where every time he sneezed, he turned into something else.
Yeah,
and he couldn't really control it, so he'd sneeze and turn into like Baron von Silas, or he'd sneeze and turn into Danger Mouse, or he'd sneeze and turn into Penfold, or he'd sneeze and turn into some weird creature.
Yeah,
I just love Agent 57.
I remember that. And, you know, it's funny, for some strange reason, as we're going through this, I'm drawing so many conclusions between this and Get Smart.
Oh yeah, it has a lot of Get Smart stuff too. Yeah. But those are the main good guys. I think those are the ones that are worth talking about. And I think, you know, you should remember, if you don't, everybody should remember Danger Mouse. And you should remember either Penfold or Colonel K or Agent 57. One of those guys you should remember. If not, you need to get the show on DVD and watch it. And yes, I said DVD, not YouTube. This is worth some money.
Yes, unlike last week's show.
Right.
Some of the villains we have: Baron Silas Greenback, the recurring villain and Danger Mouse's arch enemy, and a toad with a wheezy voice, although sometimes he was referred to as a frog, known as Baron Greenteeth. in the unbroadcast pilot episode. Commonly known as the Terrible Toad in America, greenback is slang for dollar bill in many regions, adding to the sense of his commercial greed. Allegedly, he returned to a life of crime as a schoolboy when other children stole his bicycle.
I love this guy. I love his wheezy voice. That was so unique for the time as far as an 80s villain. And he's a freaking green toad. He's a green toad with a wheezy voice that's like a mob hitman guy. Not hitman, but like a mob, like godfather. He is awesome. He's one of my favorite villains of the 80s. He's probably in my top 10 favorite villains. And that's saying a lot because there were some damn good villains in the 80s.
You know what happens to his toad when it's struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everybody else.
The only other main bad guy that you see a lot is Stiletto. Full name is Stiletto Mafiosa. He's a Greenback's henchman, which is he's a crow. He always calls Greenback Baroni, Italian for baron. In the original English version, he spoke with an Italian accent to avoid offending Italian Americans. That was changed to a Cockney accent when it was aired in the U.S. But he's a pretty cool little sidekick too. Yeah. You got a green huge frog and then this little black crow, and they just made a good pairing. You should recognize one other villain on the list though.
Let's see. Oh, Count Duckula?
Yes. Count Duckula was a showbiz obsessed vampire duck who wanted to get his own show. This ongoing gag of him craving his own show and show business inspired a later spin-off series titled Count Duckula, starring the Count himself. So this is where Count Duckula basically got his start. Get this, though. God, we're good at scheduling. He is loosely based on Count Quackula, a Filmation animated character from the 1979 The New Adventures of Mighty Mouse and Heckle and Jekyll.
Which was last week's episode.
We're good here, folks.
So let's see here, folks. We've got episode 2 was Animaniacs, and episode 3 was Tiny Toon Adventures. Now we have episode 71 being Mighty Mouse, and episode 72 being Danger Mouse.
The only way that would have been better is if we had done Count Duckula before Mighty Mouse. But those are the main bad guys. I mean, there's other bad guys that make like good one shot appearances and stuff like that. But if you're interested in those guys, you need to watch the actual show.
The only thing I don't recognize about this series is the voice cast.
I do recognize the main guy only because he does the voice of both Danger Mouse and Count Duckula.
Oh.
So David Jason does Danger Mouse and Count Duckula. He's done other stuff, but not really too much as far as like American voiceover. I mean, obviously, most of these guys are British. I'm assuming they're mostly British voice actors.
Yeah.
So we don't see him a lot in our cartoons or whatnot, but he's done other stuff. I think he's actually been on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of the other. I don't recognize any of the other voice actors, but I'll name them. Terry Scott, Edward Kelsey, Brian Truman, and Jimmy Hibbert.
Kevin's going to kill me for this next reference, ladies and gentlemen. If you take David Jason's name, put the Jason before the David, and then add a Frank, you have the voice, you have the actor that played Tommy in Power Rangers, Jason David Frank.
That's gay. I almost forgot to mention, though, Greenback's pet, Nero, the little white, I don't know what you actually call him. He was a fluffy white caterpillar, and he didn't speak, but his sounds were made by recording David Jason laughing and talking gibberish and then speeding up the soundtrack like they do with the Chipmunks or whatever.
Oh, cool.
So David Jason's just all over the show.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Getting into the behind-the-scenes segment here, I don't recognize any of the producers.
Brian Cosgrove, Mark Holland, John Hambly. I don't recognize any of them either.
As a cost-cutting measure, the cartoons made frequent use of repeated footage and in-the-dark sequences, black with eyeballs visible only, or in Danger Mouse's case, simply one eyeball. A recurring setting for the episodes was the North Pole, so chosen because the white snow-covered backgrounds would require minimal painting and coloring.
Hey, if you gotta cost cutters, do it the right way.
Yep. As far as the directors and the writers, don't recognize any of them.
Yeah, apparently Brian Cosgrove is all over this production. And Brian Truman's name has come up again, Jimmy Hibbert, but I don't recognize him, mostly because we're not going to recognize a lot of the names behind this.
Because it's a British show.
But they did a good job. I will say that much.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait till we get to reception. Okay. Oh, boy. Although, getting into the actual show here, although the characters in the series are animals, the adventures of Danger Mouse appear to be taking place alongside the human world. There are various examples of a mouse-sized Danger Mouse walking through human-scale sets, standing on football tables, and not least living inside a normal-sized pillar box. This becomes less consistent as the series goes on, as many later episodes show the characters being human-sized. There are also times where the cast attempts to deliberately interact with humans, such as Duckula mind-controlling human members of Parliament to be showbiz mad as he is, as well as the episode Trip to America, where the Danger Mouse and Penfold are seen to interact with a Texan.
So, I think the thing about the actual show that I want to bring up that I like the most is the nods to the adults that they put in there. I was rewatching some of the shows recently, and one of them, Danger Mouse is in his car or whatever, and he's with Agent 57. And Agent 57 keeps changing to different things. This is the same episode when he was sneezing, actually. And at one point, Danger Mouse asks him what Agent 57 really looks like. And so he changes into something, but it's so small that you can't see him because we're looking from the front view of the car. So we can see the windshield, and he goes basically below that.
Yeah.
And Danger Mouse gets all disgusted, and he's like, oh, God, please, can you change something into something else? And he changes into like a hippo or like a some huge animal, which sends the car crashing to the ground because it's flying through the air. And it sends the car to the ground, and as he crashes, when Danger Mouse gets out, he's not even worried about anything else. His line, and only adults obviously would get this, he's like, if you would have done that 3 minutes, or if you would have changed, because he rechanged into something else, which wasn't as heavy, and he's like, if you would have changed into that person 3 minutes earlier, I wouldn't have had to worry about my no claims bonus going out the window. And it's just stuff like that that's thrown in all over the show that kids probably wouldn't get. They would have thought it was funny because we just had this hippopotamus or whatever make the car crash to the ground. But as we're enjoying the kids with some just like, you know, overtly physical humor, they throw in lines that the adults would laugh at. And I love that about this show.
Yeah.
I mean, besides all the nods to all the other pop culture stuff like Bond, like Doctor Who, like Get Smart, and all that stuff, Sherlock Holmes, you have just these regular, just good one-liners and stuff like that that adults would appreciate.
Yep.
So that's my favorite part about the show.
Yes. And getting into the music segment here, this theme song rocks.
It does rock. Because every time I listen to it, I'm reminded of the fact that I am the greatest and I'm fantastic.
No, I disagree, but whatever blows your ego up.
Exactly. No, it's a great theme song. I wouldn't say it's like the best theme song of the 80s, but it is way better than most of the theme songs.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't even think there is one best ever theme song in the 80s.
But Gummy Bears might be.
What?
Gummy Bears and Mask are. And Mysterious Cities of Gold. Those three are, without a doubt.
Okay, then. All right.
There's no arguing this with me.
Getting into the legacy segment here. Actually, it's very funny. In Britain's Channel 4's 100 Greatest Kids TV Shows, Danger Mouse came third, beaten only by The Muppet Show and The Simpsons.
Why does Britain like The Simpsons?
I don't know.
I can understand The Muppet Show and Danger Mouse. Damn Simpsons. It's still good. I want to see what their list is because it's probably better than IGN's list.
Yeah, I don't know. So if anyone wants to point that out to Kevin, send a...
But that just gets to the point where I was saying that people that are from Britain or people that have a background of Britain, pop culture history or entertainment history, you know, TV shows, literature, whatever, do appreciate it. Obviously, that shows and it being ranked third there. So Britain people love it, but I love it too.
Yes, and there are DVDs for seasons 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, and 7 to 10, or you could just get the complete series.
Exactly. The complete series came out in 2007, all the rest were kind of earlier, but I don't know if the extras on the... Basically, season 1 and 2 are packaged together and so forth, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4 individual sets. I don't know if the special features on those are all included on the complete set or not. I'd have to do some research, but I'm assuming they would be.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much it cost, but it's 89 episodes, and I am really tempted to get it if it's a good price. If I can find this on, like, when Amazon has their deal of the day or something like that, if they ever did that with this, I would probably purchase it. Or if I could just figure out, you know, I'll have to look after the show or something to find out a price. This show is worth owning, I think, in my opinion. Especially if you like any of the shows that we're talking about. If you're a Doctor Who fan or, like, you know, a Sherlock Holmes fan or Get Smart fan, and you've never seen this cartoon, you should get it because it might be one of your favorite cartoons ever.
Oh, yeah.
This is worth way more than just a YouTube watch.
Yes, very much so. I'm actually on TVshowsOnDVD.com. Looking at the complete series thing here, Annie has scheduled an August 28th, 2007 debut of Danger Mouse, the complete series mega set. The 9-DVD set contains tons, every episode plus a great deal of bonus material. Cost is $89.95 SRP in the USA. Amazon.com pre-order cost is $62.99. Of course, this was 3 years ago, so...
Yeah. If I could get it for, like, under $50... I would probably do it.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat with you. I agree.
If I get the entire series for like 40, 45, you know, something like that, I would probably do it. And the last thing we didn't mention about the legacy, there are rumors of a CGI revival of the show.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. But yeah. You're right. There are rumors, but nothing has been official yet, thank God.
So if they did it right, I'd be all about that, but chances are they wouldn't do it right. As we've seen when people tried to redo other mice in the past.
Redo other mice in the... What?
Mighty Mouse, when they tried to redo Mighty Mouse, it didn't work out so well.
Oh, well...
So I don't want them to redo Danger Mouse. They did it right the first time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mighty Mouse was done right the first time and then done wrong twice. Danger Mouse was done right the first time. Let's not do it wrong, guys.
Yeah.
Let's not do it wrong even once.
Yes. So I think that's it for this week, and we will be back after this.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
Chief Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to all the Geekcast Radio Network's podcasts.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
I go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs while listening to Tooncast.
Now back to Tooncast.
So, final thoughts on DM.
DM is one of the best mouse characters in history. Obviously, most people probably would say Mickey Mouse is number one, but I love me some Danger Mouse. I love the look of Danger Mouse. It's unique. Like I said before, the voice acting is cool because it's people you haven't heard. As an English audience, you haven't heard them very often, so they're unique voices. I love the Green Frog bad guy. I love almost all the characters. The theme song's good. The adult humor is good. The nods to pop culture is good. I can't say anything bad about this show.
Yep.
That's my final thought. There's nothing bad to say about Danger Mouse. I dare someone to say something bad about Danger Mouse. And if you do, I will send Mighty Mouse after you.
Well, what I was going to say was we triple dog dare you to say something bad about Danger Mouse.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding. I just like getting reactions out of you.
So, Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There's some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Join the forums, predicantempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter, GCRNTuneCast is the show Twitter, minus TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
BossKDAWG.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network and Behind the Voice Actors. Call the voicemail line, leave us a message, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. Can you people tell that I really screwed the pooch on that line? We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on Cops.
The best show we've covered since Silverhawks.
Not.
For now, he's TFG on Mike.
And with optimism. The Bastard Solo.
From BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Until next time. Holy shit, what the hell was that?
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of TuneCast coming this week.
Cops, central organization of police specialists. Fighting crime in a future time. Protecting Empire City from Big Boss and his gang of crooks.